Today's episode of Seriously Wrong is proudly brought to you by the Wrongtown Half-Assed Veterans Association.
When I lost half my ass in the war, I didn't know what the future held. But the Wrongtown Half-Assed Veterans Society taught me that my half-ass was just as beautiful as any whole ass. And we're proud today to sponsor the Seriously Wrong podcast, who have always been strong, faithful allies of the half-assed community.
The Wrongtown Half-Assed Veterans Association. All gave some gave all, and some gave half. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Seriously Wrong podcast. We are your two humble hosts, Sean and Aaron, and I'm Sean, and this is Aaron sitting next to me. You can't see him. I can.
Yeah, I'm technically sitting across from you, not next to you.
I guess if you looked at us from the side, we would...
I think of face-to-face, that's not next.
Yeah,
next
like shoulder-to-shoulder versus face-to-face.
Either way, welcome to the show, everybody. This is an episode about asses and fractions of asses and specifically half-assing things, which I think gets a bad rap. I think half-assing things a lot of the time...
It gets a bum rap.
Yeah, true. I think it's a perfectly acceptable amount of ass to put into things a lot of the time. Maybe not all the time, but a lot of the time.
Yeah, we want to be ass positive, and that includes being half ass positive, quarter ass positive, three quarters ass positive. And just to clarify, just because this is the half ass episode of Seriously Wrong doesn't mean that we're going to do a half ass job. We're going to put our whole ass into this. The subject matter is half assedness, but the effort behind it is going to be whole ass.
Yeah, or maybe three quarter ass, or, you know, the 4/5 ass.
Yeah, some reasonable amount of ass.
It's definitely not going to be derogatory half-ass, which means like you did a bad job, basically. But
yeah. Yeah, and we have been recently, we've been experimenting with our production style to do more episodes with fewer sketches, with more intensity behind them and shorter episodes and so on. One could call that half-ass, but I would really, the amount of work we're putting in, it's the same. It's a different type of, you know, sometimes asses are neither less ass nor more ass. It's just a different ass, maybe it's a different shape
or a different volume or a different. Yeah, the asses come in all shapes and sizes and they can be beautiful in all different ways.
Right.
And yeah, we've been doing like, a bit less obsessive polish on the editing, fewer sketches and trying to have a quicker turnaround and be able to put out more episodes, talk to you more, do more stuff. And yeah, I've been enjoying it so far.
Yeah, we've been putting our whole ass into it. And another thing too, which I think we actually even mentioned on the main feed, but on the Patreon feed, if you sign up as a patron at any level, we are also doing follow-ups on episodes, responding to comments. We get, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes territory to... Like, we really value the comments we get, and we always kind of, we're like, ah, man, I wish we could talk about this great comment we got, but, like, I don't have time to do another 3-hour episode on this subject. We found a workaround for it because, you know.
We've been doing some quick little mailbag eps on the Patreon feed. I think some of them are even available for free. If you sign up for free on the Patreon, you can get some of those.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So if you could switch to using the Patreon feed even without paying, that's an option. And then you'll get access to at least a good portion of those.
I also think that half-assing things is like, it's a right of the common people. in your workplace to half-ass things. Like, I think the expectation that bosses often have, that managers have, that you should come show up bright and bushy-tailed, and the thing my mom always used to say, bright and bushy-tailed, and ready to put your whole ass into it every single day is an unreasonable expectation, and that nobody can always give their full ass 5 days a week, eight hours a day. Like, that's not... Maybe for a little while, but like, you're going to burn out eventually. People need rest. Sometimes you just need to show up and put half ass, third of an ass.
Yeah. Sometimes less. Yeah. I mean, especially for work, like, I just think, like, hopefully we can just all agree on that and move on. It's like, when it comes to, you know, your workplace, there's a reciprocal relationship there. And if someone expects, if a boss or an employer expects you to give your whole ass, they got to give you a whole ass in terms of pay, benefits, and respect.
Yeah. Are you putting your whole ass into my raises, into my paychecks, into my benefits, into time off? Are you, like, how much ass are you putting in for me? That's a reasonable question. I think all employees should be able to put to their employers and adjust their own ass contributions accordingly.
Yeah. When I worked at a grocery store, I'll just say it was Whole Foods. I worked there for a year. And I was up for my, like, raise, and they were like, yeah, your performance has been great. We're going to raise your wage by 25 cents an hour. And I was like, that's like $12 a week.
Yeah. I can't.
I'm not doing the math right now, but it was some insultingly small number in terms of, like, how much more money I was going to take home, like $20 or something. And that's a 1/8 ass style raise, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. 1/16th, 1/32nd. That's like...
Hey, you're a good kid. Take a quarter. Fuck you, dude. Like, if you're in a restaurant and you tip someone a quarter, it's a way of flipping them off. So giving someone a quarter 25-cent raise is a way of flipping them off.
Totally.
And so I did a half-ass job there until I quit.
Yeah. I didn't last long at any job that expected more than half of my ass on a regular basis. It was just, I couldn't do it. I don't have that much ass to give. I need to spread my ass around to other areas of my life, you know? Like, yeah, you're putting your whole ass into your job, then, like,
yeah, then you can't spread my ass at all.
Yeah, there's no ass left
to
give or spread.
Yeah, no, and I think even outside the workplace, like, it's an unreasonable expectation that people are going to give their whole ass to, like, their life and all. You know, there's ebbs and flows to life. There's rest, and there's expectations that are put on us through various means, whether that is through, like, our social life or the reproductive labor of the house and stuff like that, where it is appropriate to fluctuate how much ass you're giving it for the purposes of balance.
And like a spring cleaning, you might put your whole ass into cleaning for like a week and really get everything in tip-top shape. And then for the rest of the year, you coast on 1/10 ass until it's time again to, sort of the natural coming and going, ebbing and flowing of ass and totally.
One of the things, the subject of half-assedness came up in our private discussions around, there's this Kurt Vonnegut quote that I read as a teenager, and it turns out actually that it's got some antecedents in, like, as an ancient proverb, like a Hindu proverb, and it's also got antecedents in Jewish text from like the 300 to 500.
There's a version in the Bible too, like the New Testament.
I think there's an argument, there's a good argument, that there's a problematic nature to this quote, and I'll just flag that ahead of time. But when I read this when I was 16, it was really a source of power for me, like, and confidence and self-understanding. And it's something that is always kind of been in my back pocket, you know, resting gently against my ass all these years. And so the Kurt Vonnegut quote is, if you can do a half-ass job of anything, you're a one-eyed man in the kingdom of the blind. And the version that comes, the proverb, the biblical stuff, it's that version is kind of like, the one-eyed person is the king of the blind, variations on that.
Yeah, in the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed person is king or, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, so Vonnegut was playing on that. But I never knew that. I actually didn't know that until, like, today. And I think we should give some due time to talk about the issues with this quote and this premise.
But we can get to the ableist connotations and, in a minute.
But we'll start with the steel man here and how it affected me and how much Like, what I really liked about this quote when I was young and I encountered it is that kind of the steel man is what Kurt was saying is like, you're enough. What you do is enough. If you do things, you're doing more than nothing. And like, there's this humanist kind of like, if you do a half-assed job of something, you've done half more ass than the average person will ever do.
Yeah.
And so therefore you're enough. Like, don't worry about getting to 100% ass. Like, if you do a half-assed job, the ass is half full.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the time I think people can be inspired by seeing someone who's really good at something, like, you know, a great writer, a great snowboarder, a great guitar player, a great whatever it is, and then be like, oh, I could never be that, so I won't even try. And I think the Kurt Vonnegut quote is saying is like, you know, if you want to try something and you're worried that you're not good enough, then you should try anyway, because most people won't even bother trying, and like, even the attempt will make you better than most people. You don't have to like worry about being the best. Giving it the old college try is like, you've already done so much just by doing that, that you'll be like, you know, if you try playing guitar, you'll be a better guitar player than most people, because most people don't play guitar at all and like aren't, yeah.
Yeah, the shitty guitar player is the best guitar player in a room full of people who don't play guitar.
Yeah,
so, and exactly. Like, in the world, most people don't play guitar. So by showing up and putting half your ass into it, you're miles ahead of inadequate on that issue.
Yeah.
And I find that concept, like, there's this paradox, like the Kurt Vonnegut version of the quote, there's this kind of like paradoxical anti-ableist thing there around enoughness that I think resonates with me. And like, so I have attention deficit disorder, according to doctors, if you believe in that kind of thing. But I do. And like, a lot in my life, I've like struggled with the last 15% of something. And like, actually, you can probably attest, Aaron, like the podcast editing, where I get like close to the end and then it's just like 4 days of like, like, it's just like something about that last, and it's the same in like animation, which I've done. And like, when I animated the Ultimate Showdown, like Neil Cesariga helped me finish it, because it was just like sitting there almost done. And it just like, once it was like in the, it's the same with video games. I get to the last boss of Legend of Zelda and I kind of feel like I beat it enough and I sort of forget.
Right.
So that little, like the concept that it's like enough to get close and that you've done more than your due diligence getting that far, was like, as a teenager, this quote was a place, like it's just, reading it was like a mind blowing kind of like thing. And I didn't realize at the time, but I realize now that part of the comfort it gave me was related to something that is a disability.
Right, right. Saying that like you're good enough, even if you can't be the best or like fully do this thing or whatever. Yeah, like totally. It makes a lot of sense. I noticed that too about the quote, that there was this interesting tension in it, that it has this humanism of saying you're good enough if you try, and the anti-humanism of kind of saying, oh, everyone else is like a dumbass who who sucks.
Yeah, no, and that was important to me as a teenager too.
Yeah, yeah, you can relate to that as a teenager, that everyone else is a dumbass who sucks. I mean, I still kind of relate to that sometimes. It's hard not to feel like everyone else is a dumbass who sucks sometimes when you look at the state of the world. but yeah, it is a good quote. It's unfortunate
Sorry, that's like the base of really strong humanism, I think, is like that misanthropic base that you build humanism on top of. It's almost like like a strong optimism is built from a base of like hopelessness. It's not like this naive thing. It's like you start from zero and then you build up optimism on top of that. And it's the same with like humanism, like the universal love for other human beings and like support from them. It's not based on the delusion that everyone is kind.
If it is, then it's going to be, your universal love isn't going to last long, because you're going to run into counterexamples pretty quickly to your base belief that everyone is always kind.
Yeah, so like a healthy kind of like casual, non-serious, but like kind of fun misanthropy is like a good building place for like a universalist humanist ethic, I think.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So the second part of that quote is based on, as you said, like these older quotes about one-eyed man is a king in the land of the blind.
Yeah. So multiple issues with this. Like, one thing is like, I just think in general, now I'm not speaking as a blind person here, but I think generally like being used as like metaphorical fodder is like an unpleasant experience regardless of like, you know, you know, Aaron is king in the kingdom of Sean's. It's just not going to feel good no matter what sort of like.
Yeah, whatever, like however you want to spin it or say it, like, yeah, using a thing that's true about you as a metaphor for like overall ignorance or like lack of capability in general. Like one of the weird things about that idea is that like just because say you're in the kingdom of the blind, people are getting along fine, they're living their lives, you know, obviously have, like they would figure things out.
Their society would not be based on sight. They would find other ways to live and relate to each other.
It would probably be like way easier for a blind person to navigate that society than our society because everything would be built with them in mind.
Yeah, literally the kingdom of the blind would be like a blindness paradise.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you're thinking in terms of social model of disability, there would be like the least amount of disability from not being able to see in that society because it would be set up for you.
They might all gang up on the one-eyed man and kill him.
Yeah, that could happen. There could be some prejudice against or they might not even believe them. They'd be like, I have this completely different sense of things that none of other you, if they've never even heard of sight. Yeah. And the one-eyed man is just like, I can sense things from a distance without touching them or smelling them or tasting them. And they'd be like, okay, this person's crazy.
I guess like, if you didn't have that context and then you were able to prove it, it would really feel like, even if he tried to explain like what an eye was, it would they'd probably think of it like as a psychic power.
Yeah, that makes sense too. But like, even if this person exists and is like relatively normalized, people understand, like just because you have this one ability doesn't mean you're going to be the king. Like you might, so one of the blind people might be like doing a way better job of being a leader, or like the person who's one-eyed might be like a guitar player and not a leader. It's my go-to example in this episode. Having that one ability doesn't mean you're like that much better than everyone else. You're going to be the king of them. It's like a really weird idea. That like it makes sense in a metaphorical sense. I get like kind of what the proverb is getting at, but thinking about it in terms of like what it says about blind people is pretty like not true, just on an obvious level and insulting.
Yeah. And like just getting pedantic about kings for a second, like a king is a metaphorical king. You might mean like, oh, the fastest runner of the race is the king of the race or something. But like, a king is a relationship of command and control and authority under threat of punishment or violence enforced by a regime of power. In the kingdom of the blind, that just it wouldn't correlate with sight. Like maybe they could use their advantage of sight to like game themselves into a more powerful position or something like that. But like,
I could see them doing like really well at boxing or like. There could probably be specific things that they would like really excel at, but like, I don't see why being a king would necessarily be one of them.
Yeah, it depends how the blind kingdom is dealing with the things that incited communities. There are certain things that we do that are based around our mutual ability of everyone to see.
Yeah.
Like how you get places, your fault. So like, presumably they'd be using touch and sound. And you could fit in the cracks of the, like, you could imagine someone who's like running around off the tracks, who's running around off the typical system is able to use that. Some, that doesn't make you king. Maybe it could make you king. But like, when I imagine a blind kingdom, I imagine it being like very solidarity oriented. Like when I think of the social model of disability, like maybe this is a bias I'm bringing, like maybe left to their own devices, like any other humans, the draw of power will make the blind have kings and subordination and so on. But yeah, I just want to zero in just like the relationship of command and control under threat of violence and punishment, that authoritarian relationship of king and kingdom. I think is just, it's never been correlated to like ability or merit or like difference, like meaningful difference in like human history, as far as I know. It's like a more of an arbitrary thing.
Yeah, it's usually hereditary. But yeah, I mean, like, even if in our society, if people were like, if someone did have extrasensory perception of some kind, or even like, say, if someone had like sonar and they could see through walls with vibrations, or they could see in the dark or something, you know, someone who's even less blind than like a typically sighted person. It doesn't mean they would like, yeah, rule over everybody. It just does not follow in any sense.
Yeah. In the kingdom of the colorblind, the guy who can see color is king. It's like, yeah, probably not.
In the kingdom of people who can't see in the dark, the person who can see in the dark is king.
Yeah, probably not. And like, it's like an ancient bat proverb. In the kingdom of people who can't echolocate, the bat who can echolocate just a little bit is king.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, there's all that. But I think the overall message about half-assing it being good enough, at least a lot of the time, of the Kurt Vonnegut version building on that old idiom, is there's a lot of value there.
Yeah, and in that part, like, the thing I like about the sight metaphor, like having covered what I don't like about it, is that, like, it is true that having one eye is getting you like 85% of the way to two-eyed sight. Like, the second eye gives you like depth perception, and the depth perception is like valuable, but like there's other things that are half that are not like 85% or what. Like, the fact that half is so close to whole in the example of eyes is part of what made the Kurt Vonnegut quote feel so like
right,
relevant to me.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought of that, but that's really interesting. Yeah, that there are these situations where being 50% of the way there is actually, in another sense, being 90% of the way there. Because this quote also reminded me of like a thing we've talked about on the show before, of being a relative expert on things. And a different version of this idiom is, in the land of people who only read headlines, the person who read one full article is not the king, but, you know, you half-assed it and you just read one article, you're already like 90, you know, more than 90% of people about this thing, because, you know, 50% only read the headline and 90 or 40% didn't read anything at all. You're part of that elite 10% who read the full single article. And then there's maybe like 1% of people who've read books on it and studied it in school or what, you know, like putting in just a little bit of effort can often put you way above everybody else. You know, just Googling the claim and seeing what the source of the claim was, researching it for 10 minutes, you'll know way more about this claim than almost everybody.
Yeah, yeah. In the land of people who are just shooting from the hip in the comment section, the guy who verifies his posts before making them on Google is the most persuasive argumenter.
Or at least the most correct person. Their rhetoric might not be on point, but...
Right, and if everyone else is committed to a certain way of being, they might even reject the idea of evidence itself, which is genuinely something I've encountered in the comment sections when I've provided extremely high-quality sources disproving the core part of someone's claim, and then they act... This is actually like a major trigger for me, I realized recently, that if like someone says something wrong... And then I like put a little effort into being like, oh, that, you know, like not even a judgmental way, but misunderstanding. Here's the facts. And then they act like that didn't happen.
Yeah.
It like makes my blood boil.
Yeah.
The relative expert thing, it's also like it's about enoughness. Because I think for a lot of people, especially when they're talking about politics and thinking about like engaging in the political world and like advocacy and stuff, is that people... Like, there are exceptions, but generally, like, I think we have a tendency to, like, minimize ourselves or be worried that we're, like, inadequate to be part of a conversation, that we're...
Yeah, you feel like you don't know enough, or your voice doesn't matter, or you could never possibly contribute anything meaningful to a discussion or a political idea, yeah, debate.
Yeah, so like it's because people are comparing themselves to a hypothetical and non-existent 100% asser who has just like never existed. And then part of that too is like in political discourse, there's like kind of this incentive to even no matter what percentage of your ass you're using to kind of front that you're whole assing or that you are that whole ass understander.
Yeah.
Which then also creates a situation sometimes where like when that presentation of a full ass is poked through like a balloon, it's popped.
Yeah, you popped the ass and it really wasn't an ass. It was just...
and you realize it's just a quarter ass. This whole time. A quarter ass inflated to, to look. Then people get like really defensive and they like lash out and stuff because like they've put their whole ass on the line and like now like their ass is being judged. It's not, you know, big and round and juicy enough.
Yeah.
And then they have to like overcome and it creates like these weird social dynamics. So like people feel like they have to pretend that their ass is, you know, a full ass in order to talk on discourse. And then other people take that at face value. Like, oh, that guy seems to really know a lot about Stalin. Like, my thoughts on it are probably too small. I don't know. He probably read a book. And it turns out that guy just is going off some tweets and a vibe or whatever.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, that's really true too. Like this expectation that the whole ass is the minimum. And if you haven't put your whole ass into something, then you're not good enough. Or this like this vibe that's out there that that's true, I think is the reason why people often front as if they've put in their whole ass. And it's damaging to discourse to have people misrepresent how much ass they've put into something, how like... It's good to half-ass something and to know more about it than most people, to be a relative expert. But yeah, you should try to avoid that temptation of fronting, of lying about how much ass you put in. Like we've done a lot of, you know, half-assing in the sense of like, we haven't studied a lot of these things for years, but we'll do a deep dive research on a topic. We know more than most people, but obviously we don't know more than people who spend their whole life studying any one particular topic that we've done a podcast episode on. So it's like, yeah, you don't want to misrepresent how much ass you've put out there. Number one, because you might make other people feel like they could never reach your heights when it's probably a little easier than they'd think. And number two, because... Yeah, it's like important to be honest about where you're at and yeah, how much you know and how much of an expert you actually are, to recognize your own limitations.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's both for yourself in the sense that you need to protect your ego for getting called out.
Like, yeah, if you not put your whole ass on the line.
Yeah, if you're fronting that you're putting your whole ass on the line, and then someone points out that you've got a misunderstanding, you misread or misremembered a stat, or like your premise is based on some foundational axiom that has actually been recently disproven or is a common misconception or so on, it's like a painful thing if you let yourself be in that place. And like now you're... Certain contexts like arguments or like political competition and things like that really incentivize that push to the whole ass fronting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like in a political debate for president, you know, like no one's ever saying like, well, I only sort of understand the Middle East, just to be clear.
Yeah, that's true too. Like there's certain situations where like you kind of gotta front. Even though it's not ideal in certain ways, it's like there's like a real politic to it that you kind of have to, in terms of like, yeah, if you're out there being like completely honest, nuanced, you know, about how much you do and don't know. And, you know, I put 2/3 of my ass into this and I'm confident that I am like a solid 2/3 ass on this topic. I know my shit. Then the other guys out there on the stage, they've put 1/18 ass into it, but they're out there acting as if they're whole ass. And then the low information voters are like, well, that person put their whole ass in. This person's saying he only put 2/3 of an ass in. He seems way less confident about his stuff than that whole ass person who's in truth completely wrong and barely put anything into it. Yeah, there's, I guess, a time and place for fronting sometimes, especially within politics, but it's not ideal. If you could change culture around that stuff, I think it would be better.
Yeah, no, I think changing the culture around that is actually essential if we want to create a participatory, democratic, and ecological society someday. Like, yeah. I think the voting competition, butting heads kind of representative democracy we have that incentivizes that kind of stuff is actually kind of like a violation of democratic principles, which are more participatory and distributed.
Yeah.
So changing that culture, I think, is something that we should try to play a part in within reason. And the other thing I was going to say is that we also need to not front about how much ass we're putting in for the benefit of other people, because we want to encourage people to do things, to do a half-assed job.
Yeah.
Rather than withdrawing and hiding their ass in shame. Oh, it's not enough ass. It's not good enough. I don't know if I could bring my ass out on the doors to convince people to vote for a socialist.
They'll take one look at this ass and say, that's not enough ass. It's, it's not thick. It's...
My modest little non-juicy ass is just not good enough. And so you have to tell them, no, those people have padding. Those people have fake balloons. Those like... You have enough ass.
Put a pin in one of those asses and
watch it deflate.
Watch it pop, yeah.
Yeah, they'll lash out at you as their ass deflates.
We now go to a lazy, half-assed employee meeting his managers for a performance review.
Hey, Bumstead, thank you so much. Yeah, please take a seat. So, yep, you're up for your quarterly raise. There are some concerns on the management team that you have been half-assing the job and not putting your whole ass into it. When we first hired you, we thought, you know, this is an employee with a great ass, a role model whose whole butt is in it. And sadly, over the last couple months to a year, we've just seen some slipping, some drooping in that ass, some sagging.
Yeah, the performance we've seen out of your ass is not what we've been hoping for. Now, you know, you've been wearing the new wearable ass monitor, and we've been looking over the logs the ass monitor produces. Yeah. And to be honest, these logs are not pretty. You're in the rear end of the distribution. There are so many cracks in your performance that you're now at the backside of the employee list.
Everyone's pooped some days, but you're taking longer in the bathroom than anyone else, and we wonder if it's an intentional thing. And we thought we were hiring an ass master, and some days, I'm not butthurt at all in saying this, but some days we feel like we've actually hired an ass clown.
We try not to be too anal about these logs, but when time comes to dump some of the employees, we have to look at the raw numbers here. Now, I'm not saying that you're being fired. You're not. We know you're not a lazy bum, but the board and I, we've been discussing your ass, and we're very disappointed with it.
Yeah, we used to celebrate that ass, you know? We would toot on our horns in celebration. We would clap for your booty as you walked by.
I miss the days when I could say, nice ass, Bumstead, and really mean it, you know?
But those days are gone, unfortunately, and maybe there's something going on at home distracting you, but you know, if you've got butt stuff going on at home, you got to leave that crap at the door. We need to hit the floor with our whole ass. And when we've mentioned this to you before, you were cheeky about it, and that's not winning you any points.
This company is like a family, and family deserves the full entire ass. We don't like it when employees try to gussy that ass up with pads, trying to disguise how much ass they're actually putting out. The logs show a clear decline in the amount of ass that you've been putting in.
We got to lift that.
We've got to lift the ass.
For example, last week when you spilled that pallet, it almost wrecked him. That's lost productivity time for not just your ass, but other people's asses. So for all those reasons, unfortunately, you know, your 25-cent raise that you're scheduled for, we're going to have to reject that this time.
We really hope that this is going to motivate your ass for the next 6 months, next time your ass is up for this raise.
We value your ass, we respect your ass, we admire your ass on a good day, but
we can't admire it if you don't bring it, if you don't show up with the whole ass for us to admire, then
you're going to have to get your butt out of here.
We miss that ass, we want that ass back, we believe in your ass.
So,
all right, yeah. What do you say?
You've been quiet, I'm curious what you think.
Why are you standing up and undoing your belt? I don't understand.
Oh, okay. Real mature. He's turning around.
Oh.
He's pulling down his pants. He's mooning us.
He's going to show us his ass. We're talking metaphorically, obviously.
Yeah, you please have some maturity.
Please.
So you're...
Mooning your employers is just...
Well, two we can play at this game. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Do my pants and... There you go. What do you think about that? There's our asses, too. We're mooning you right back.
You're getting double what you're putting out back. Two asses in your ass.
Look at these two asses, these moons.
I'm sorry I ever set eyes on that ass. Good riddance.
You know, after we did so much to try to keep him here, what a slap on the ass to moon us.
Yeah.
I feel like we were nice. We could have really spanked him, and we didn't. We tried to keep it positive.
Oh, we were so nice. We were upbeat. We were talking about the potential of something better and not focusing on the negative. But his ass did not appreciate that. We are definitely the victims here.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. He was stealing. He was stealing half his paycheck.
Yeah.
Because he was only putting half his ass in.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's been gone for a while. Do you want to put our pants back on? We're still...
Yeah, you're probably right. Door, we should, but... Before the next person come in, yeah. Let's just pull these up and...
All right, next, Ms. Bottom Smile, please come on in.
And that was two employers giving their employee a performance review after that employee was doing a half-assed job. And now, back to our show. But it's appropriate to even put less than half an ass into things. A lot of, like, if I'm being made to do something I don't want to do, but it kind of, like, has to get done, I'm going to give that the minimum possible ass for my own sake. So I have more ass to give on the things that really matter.
Yeah, I think there's like a kind of ass efficiency that we need to strive for, and that you put in the minimum amount of necessary ass to do the things that you have to do but don't want to do. And then that leaves as much ass as possible for you to put into the things that you do want to do.
Yeah.
Because
Sometimes you might even want to double ass something, put your whole ass into it twice.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, be careful with that.
Yeah, it's not sustainable to do that forever, and it's not on everything. But every now and then, it's appropriate if something is sufficiently important and you're sufficiently passionate about it. And in fact, I would propose that a little icon, a little image of a man with two plump asses could be kind of the new international symbol for hard, dedicated work.
Right. Yeah, I think... you know, we could think of it
breezing by, like, right. This is the new international symbol.
I agree. I mean,
I've drawn it here. Do you want to see?
It's very beautiful. Two asses.
Thank you. Each juicier than the last.
I believe that's where the future of human evolution is headed. We will all have two asses soon. Four cheeks, two asses.
Well, if this metaphor takes off, then you know, evolution's going to do its thing.
Every once in a while, as they say at the beginning of the first X-Men movie, evolution takes a jump. Yeah.
The first time I hadn't actually drawn the double ass, but I just showed it to him for real.
Yeah, it was that laugh. The thing I was going to say was, yeah, you could frame it as double assing it or whole. Before we started recording, I was thinking about this in terms of whole assing being the maximum that you could possibly, like, no person could double ass anything physically if we're just defining the parameters here.
People only have one ass.
People only have one ass currently.
For now.
And then in that context, as I say, like, I think whole assing it is a beautiful thing. Like, when people genuinely are vibing on something, maybe they got some hyper focus going on, or just you really are into something, you're figuring it out, you're learning something new, you're creating something you're proud of, you're working on some project that you are excited about, then in that situation, like, putting your whole ass into something is like a beautiful thing. It can feel amazing to do it. The amount that you can get done, the way you can inspire other people. There's a true beauty in whole assness. I think the problem, becomes when it's like, you know, whoever it is, when bosses or managers or like your own internal self-critic is trying to put that as the standard you should meet all the time, and not giving yourself a break, not giving other people a break, not realizing that whole assing it is a rare and beautiful thing that happens sometimes when the time is right, when the stars align. Then, you know, that week or that month or that year when you really put your whole ass into something and you got something out of it. But you can't do it all the time. You can't always put your whole ass into anything.
Yeah, no, and whole assedness is not something you can, like, turn on and off like a tap, from my experience. It's not really a choice. So that's part of what's fucked up about the boss asking for the whole ass.
Yeah.
Is like the whole ass is like, it's like a snake that needs to be charmed, or it's like a... It's like a seasonal thing, or it's like there's some...
It's like a beautiful sunny day in the summer, and you just know that it's not going to last. Like, you need...
No, that perfect ass going whole in is something that we're lucky to experience in our lives when we have an alignment between what needs to be done and what we want to do and what we hope for and what our dreams are and all that kind of... That whole acidness, it's like... It's a rare and beautiful ass.
Yeah.
And... if the boss or even just like our kind of like super ego or whatever, we put that imposition on ourselves that we're guilty for half-assing, quarter-assing, third-assing, and that we're in this like permanently guilty state, measuring ourselves against either a perfect ass that doesn't exist or a rare and fleeting ass that can only be captured like a, you know, a precious, you know, rare, fleeting thing. Yeah. So like people, it's good to put your whole ass into things, but it's not necessary to put your whole ass into things. And it's beautiful when things line up. And whether what metaphor we're using of the gravity or the seasons or the alignment, it's like forces beyond us, mm-hmm. including our inner drives and our inner universe and our experience, align in such a way so that for one beautiful moment, for 3 weeks, you put your whole ass into it.
Yeah.
And then it's over. And you can try to recapture that with a half ass, a quarter ass, maybe a 4/5 ass. But that whole ass is that it's beyond us, right? It's like, it's not something that we can ask for. It's only something we can be given. It's only something we can discover. It's not something we can make.
Yeah, you can't operate at peak all of the time. Otherwise, it wouldn't be peak anymore. It would just be plateau. It would be, you know, like, and also like the other thing is we all only have one ass to give until evolution takes a jump or whatever. There's a downside to that 3 weeks you spent whole assing something that you got deep and you really put everything into it, is that you let other parts of your life fall to the wayside for a few weeks. Maybe your relationship suffered. Maybe you didn't clean up around your apartment enough. Maybe you forgot to get a gift for your mother's birthday or, you only have one ass to give. So if you're giving your whole ass to one thing, then there's a type of imbalance to that. And again, like it can be beautiful for a time and like maybe other people around you are willing to help pick up some of the ass slack. But eventually you're going to need to put some ass into some other parts of your life. Otherwise, you're not going to have a well-balanced, well-rounded ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all only got one ass to give. So be kind to people when they can't give their whole ass to something the way you'd like them to. And there, you know, there's times when someone's like habitually not putting enough ass into something and it's unfair. You're constantly having to do 3/4 ass and they're only doing a quarter ass, and there's an unfair ass division of labor in a situation like a relationship or a group project or something.
You need to find a whole ass together, and then you have to negotiate the where the ass is coming from.
Yeah. How much ass do we all have to give, and how do we fairly divide up this one ass that it would take to keep our apartment clean or whatever?
Yeah. And part of that too is like, we probably don't need to whole ass cleaning the apartment, but we do need to half ass cleaning the apartment. Yeah. And I'm 40% assing here. You're 10% assing. Yeah. And like, it's not like I want more ass for other things. I want more of my ass to be freed up. I need to redistribute my ass. Another thing that comes to mind around relationships is like, I think early in relationships, people, there's like a lot of energy. There's a lot of alignment. There's a natural feeling towards whole acidness.
Yeah.
And so you give this big, round, fat version of your ass at the beginning of a relationship.
Yeah.
But what makes a relationship have longevity is not, you know, the big, plump, big, fat, early ass. It's what does a half ass look like? What is a quarter like? And how much ass do you give over time?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, it's natural, like when you're excited to put more of your ass into something. But like where longevity in relationships come, and the things that maybe have to be like negotiated or understood, is that there is this early phase that has there's one aspect to, you know, the beautiful thing, two asses meeting.
Yeah, that new relationship energy where like you're both putting your whole ass into it, and like it's like, wow, this relationship is brimming with energy. There's two full asses here constantly. We're like this dynamic duo of putting both of our full asses into it.
Yeah, when I'm with you, I just feel like a whole full plump ass. There's something magical about us. And it's like, well, maybe somewhat, but you know, over time, nothing gold can stay. Asses can't stay that fat for that long.
Asses age, asses get saggy, get wrinkly. They can do less and less.
Yeah, you have to distribute the ass at the end of the day. There's all these things pulling on our ass in life.
Yeah.
And then another paradox, actually, too, is like a lot of the things that people find attractive in others is the incredible things they can do with their ass. So like the fact that someone is a painter or a musician is attractive. But if you're a very successful painter or musician, it means a lot of your ass is going to have to go to being a musician. And like, there's no ass left for you some days. And that can be painful. But at the same time, there's something magnetic about the fact that they're a musician. So there's this interesting like social dynamic around this kind of stuff that actually feels pretty animated by the ass metaphor.
Yeah. It is a really deep metaphor. It covers so many aspects of life. Like, we've been talking about work, we've been talking about passion projects, we've been talking about relationships, we've been talking about politics. It really covers a lot. It's fun to talk about. You get to say ass a lot.
It's a beautiful thing. So we're diving deep into the ass today.
Yeah, deeper than anyone's ever dove before. Because we looked it up. We were like, how much philosophical analysis is there on half-acidness,
right,
and whole-acidness versus no-acidness? And there's very little, like, surprisingly.
Little. Yeah.
Surprisingly very little. But it's a rich, rich discussion.
We now go to two lawyers representing their clients during a divorce in a heated debate about splitting the family ass.
Now, we all know this is the big one. This is what we're all here to discuss: the house, the college funds, the boat, small potatoes compared to the ass. And me and my client are willing to fight on it.
I think we just need to pursue a fair, balanced agreement. Your client gets the left cheek, my client gets the right.
Let me just stop you right there. We do not agree to a one cheek solution here. Each cheek should be split in half. My client gets the inner and your client gets the outer.
The inner cheeks. Wow. Okay.
Vertically split.
And if we do that, sorry, the top of the butt crack that looks like a little Y, my client would need to get that little Y for sure.
No, that's part of the inner. My client has a deep emotional attachment to the inner halves of the cheeks, which is why we're so dead set on that as a sort of hard line of what we're expecting out of this process.
Well, I don't think that's going to work. You know, obviously the inner cheeks borders the sphincter, and the sphincter is quite important to my client.
There's the external sphincter and the internal sphincter. Nice and easy. We each get one.
My client was interested in an offer where they get both sphincters, but in exchange for something else, willing to even open up the discussion on the anal canal more broadly.
Okay, well, what's the anal canal without both of the sphincters? The anal verge?
Yeah, it's a scenic verge. It's one of the most, in terms of aesthetics, the anal verge is one of the most important things. So
what about the rectum, the interior rectal valve, the colon going further on up?
The rectum, sure, but the colon is clearly part of the larger digestive system, and I'm not sure we're reopening the colon here.
Look at these diagrams. There's no clear boundary between anus, rectum, colon, stomach, esophagus, mouth. It's all kind of one mouth-to-ass system.
The mouth-to-ass system? I mean, this is an unusual legal interpretation of the boundaries of the ass. You're saying it goes to the mouth? So you think the teeth and tongue are part of the ass?
That is correct.
I'm sorry, but
as much the ass as the sphincter is.
This scratches credulity, frankly. You're offering my client two external halves.
The two outer sides of the cheeks, which, looking from a side profile, that looks like a full ass.
I have to be frank, that's not a serious offer. We know that the sphincter, the anus, the anal cavity, and that's all located in the inner. You're trying to hoodwink us. This is supposed to be a half-ass deal, and you're greedily taking almost the whole ass for yourself. You know, sometimes half of something can be almost 85% of what's valuable.
You've already negotiated the stomach and many other parts of the upper digestive tract. Our position is that is already half of the ass.
I'm sorry, this is absurd. And my client is not going to accept any deal that involves not getting the little Y that pokes out.
Look, if you pursue this, the judge is going to order the entire ass split in half straight down the middle, and there won't be a Y. Each sphincter split in half, they won't even be able to close anymore. The anal sinus will be split, the anal column split, the pectin is split, the anococcygeal ligament is split. Interior rectal valve split. All of it is getting cut in half. This ass is going to be torn apart unless we can come to an agreement.
Please, no. You can have it. You can have it all. Please, please, let me.
Well, no, if your client wants to give the whole ass, we can do that.
My client does not want that. I do want to give up the whole ass. This family ass, the cheeks, the sphincter, the little Y, it's been part of our home. We've raised a family with this ass. We've taken vacations with this ass. This ass means something to me, and the thought of it being split into pieces, spread apart, it's not right. It's, yes, I want to bring the ass home with me and all the memories attached to that ass, but I can't bear the thought of losing that little Y. And even though I want that ass, I'm ready to set that ass free.
That sounds so beautiful.
My client has moved me.
What's that? What's that? My client says, you can have the whole ass. We're giving it up to you. That was the most beautiful thing we've ever heard.
Oh, thank you. My client deserves the ass. They care so deeply about it. I thank you. And that was Tough Negotiations Between Two Lawyers During a Divorce Having a Tense Dispute About the Division of the Family Ass. And now back to our show.
We started off this episode talking about how half-assing it gets a bad rap.
You know, a bum rap.
A bum rap. And a lot of the time, half-assing it is good enough. Half-assing it is actually quite a lot. If we're thinking in terms of you only have one ass to give, it's like you're doing really good if you're putting a half-ass in. I think we need to destigmatize half-assing it. We need to help people understand that putting half an ass in a lot of the time is not even just like good enough. It's like, it's great. Half asses don't get enough love in this society.
Yeah, I feel like a picture of like a half of an ass could become the new international symbol.
Yeah, I think this is the internet. Yeah, on a flag. It'll be on the flag of our utopia as a half an ass.
Yeah, and what it symbolizes is kind of like the universal enoughness of humankind and like the reasonable expectations for ourselves and others and adequacy to achieve the ends we're seeking to achieve.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have problems not feeling good enough. It's like a major component of almost every major mental illness in some way or another, or at least a confounding factor. I think it's like one of the number one things that therapists need to help people deal with and counselors need to help people deal with is their feelings of inadequacy, their self-judgments, their lack of feeling like they're enough, lack of understanding that they are enough because we are enough. We can't help but be enough because we are what we are. And we can get it messed up by looking at a bunch of people operating at their peak and imagining that we should be able to operate at the peak of every single thing we ever imagine that we want to do. Like, why am I not the best guitarist in the world, the best house cleaner in the world? Why am I not on top of the bills all the time, on top of this and that, and on top of everything constantly? But nobody is. Like, you might know one person who's on top of each one of those things, or at least you'd see them in a parasocial sense, the best whatever, the sports star. But like, we as people are what we are. And even those people who are extremely good at one thing, they're probably suffering in other areas of their life that they're not as good at. So it's like, it's important to recognize that what you have to offer is valuable. And if it's a whole ass, if it's a half ass, if it's a quarter ass, if it's a third of an ass, sometimes you can squeak by with like a 1/128th of an ass or whatever. Like,
right. That's especially in groups.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're in a group of 50 people and you're all putting in 1/50th of an ass, that's a whole ass.
Yeah, yeah. No, and that's part of the value of like coming together and working together on projects. And yeah, collaboration is a way to...
It's an ass multiplier.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it's even more than the sum of its parts. Like sometimes you put three quarter asses together and suddenly you've got a whole ass. And it's like, where did that extra quarter come from? And it was the energy that we created together. This quarter ass arrives from nothing but the dynamic between people.
Yeah, that's a great point.
But yeah, the half ass icon is a symbol of permanent human adequacy. You know, we've been joking a lot this episode, but I find something moving about this. So many people struggle with the idea that they should be something that no one can really be. And they're struggling against this imagined bar to clear, this imagined line of being good enough that has been set on unrealistic standards, either through childhood experiences, it could be unrealistic media depictions, it could be like all these different ways that people could carry this imaginary line they can't cross and they can't reach. And then they see people pretending that they've reached it, or they seem to be reaching their own version of the line, but it's not clear where this line metaphor is way worse than the ass metaphor. But like, I think a lot of people do need to hear that what they can bring is enough. And it's kind of like the ultimate anti-ableist point, in that like, everyone is enough, especially if we work together, and we owe this to each other to be part of this cohesive whole. And if you can put half your ass into something, then you're soaring on that front. And like, not being able to do what you feel like you should be able to do might be a sign about what you feel that you should be doing being wrong, instead of a sign about what you are. And like, that's what the half-assed thing means. Like,
yeah, the unrealistic expectations. And I think too, like, people need to understand sometimes that going with the sort of ultimate anti-ableist point, the idea that like, we're all different and everybody has a different ass. Not all asses are the same. Asses have different strengths and weaknesses. Some asses are better at doing X thing. Some asses are better at doing Y thing. And they're all beautiful. They're all an ass. They're all a whole ass. We all have a whole ass, even if we physically lost one cheek in the war. It's you are a full person, and what you have to give is your whole ass, and that is what's good enough. And you don't need to compare your ass to anyone else's ass. You don't need to say, my ass isn't good enough, look at what their ass can do. What your ass can do is what you have. It's who you are, and it's beautiful for what it is. It's not... There's a strength in a community, a confederation of asses coming together, and in the dynamics of different asses having different strengths, different weaknesses, different abilities, different disabilities. It's that coming together, that ecology of asses, creating something that's more than the sum of its parts, that makes society work. That is the beauty of like the human collectivity. So yeah, like your ass is good enough. You don't have to compare it to the most beautiful, perfect, imagined, airbrushed, photoshopped ass you've ever seen.
Yeah, and the way, if we want to achieve that level of ass perfection as a whole, as a group, whole with a W.
Important distinction.
We have to understand what that really looks like. And it's not one special, perfect, airbrushed ass. It is that confederation, all these many asses going cheek to cheek and forming an ass that's juicier than the sum of its parts. But, and part of doing that is just recognizing that the sliver of ass that you have to give is enough. And also, like, if you want to be a great guitar player, do a half-ass job at practicing, and you're going to be a half-ass guitar player in no time. So let's destigmatize the half-ass thing. Let's glorify the half-ass.
Yeah, that's true. There's the glory of the half-ass. If there's one thing I think we want to leave you with, it's that half-ass is glorious. And that anytime you look back at your life and see things that you put half of your ass into, you should feel proud of those things, because you put way more ass into it than most people did. And good for you.
Yeah, good for you. We now go to a world after a Seriously Wrong podcast-inspired revolution at the First International Congress of Utopian Wokist Library Socialism, where a serious dispute has broken out on how many butt cheeks to put on the flag of our new utopian society.
Thank you, everyone, for allowing me to speak on behalf of the half-assist faction of the Utopian Congress. I am here to make the argument that our flag should have half an ass on it. Half-assing it is good enough. Now, I want to respond quickly to the accusation that my faction is opposed to whole-assing it. We're not. We think that whole-assing it is a beautiful thing, but it should happen organically because you feel really motivated and interested and invested in what you're doing because you're in love with the task and you can't wait to do more. We can't ask people who've agreed to wake up early and slog to work digging ditches or cleaning toilets in this new utopia to do it with their whole ass, as if it's the greatest thing in the world. It's unreasonable and unfair. Because we believe whole-assing it is so beautiful, we refuse to sully that with the authoritarian imposition of forcing the entire populace to whole-ass it all day, every day, making our utopia ultimately no better than the old order. Half-assing it is a fundamental right of the common people. It's a beautiful thing, and it should be the symbol of our new society. Thank you.
There he goes again, folks. Denigrating the noble ditch diggers and the toilet cleaners of the world, attacking us as authoritarians because we believe that the common people will put their whole ass into the work. They will be invested in building a utopian society, and they will put their whole ass into it, which is why that should be reflected on our flag, the flag of our new world. Whole-assing it simply means doing your best. And we believe that the people of the world will be invested in our world. Do you not? You think they're going to be half-assing it? No! They'll be whole-assing it day in and day out, building this beautiful society because it's a world worth building. People will take pride in every kind of job, whether it's ditch digging, bum wiping, toilet cleaning. These are noble jobs. Now, the problem with this half-assedist ideology is it's setting the bar too low. And if we set this bar low, we can begin a vicious cycle where nobody feels invested in any projects any longer. They only do the bare minimum. Bums will go unwiped, toilets unclean, ditches undug. And eventually, we will all die horribly. It's reinforcing the values of the old society. It's saying, oh no, the common people, they're so small, they're half. No, they are worthy, they are great, they're whole. Building a utopia requires our whole ass. It demands a whole ass, and the people are ready to give us their whole ass. So let's put two cheeks on the flag and get started.
You want to work people to the bone, grind them down until there's no cheeks left because we've given it all away. Our whole ass has deteriorated to nothing but bloody bones beneath grinded away cheeks. No, people need rest. That's the point of a utopia. This whole assist ideology is going to get people killed. It's going to stop the revolution in its tracks. We're so close to the cusp of building a new society. We just need to reject the whole assists. We need to come together under a half-assed flag so we can truly have a society worth living in.
Do the whole assists wish to live in a utopian and perfect society where everyone can give half an ass, quarter an ass, 1/8 an ass, 1/16 an ass? Yes, of course, that's what we're trying to build. But to get there, it's going to take our whole ass. And the people are ready to give their whole ass to us. It is not an imposition, it is not a demand, it is a belief in the people. It is not authoritarian to set that standard. And it's not authoritarian to punish those who don't meet it. We should listen to the people when they tell us we want to put our ass into this. We should say hurrah for you people and hurrah for the utopia we are working to build.
My opponent has just given his whole ass away. Did you hear that? Punish those who haven't given their whole ass. Well, who decides what's the whole ass? They want to throw you in jail for having an off day. They want to rip you from your family, rip you from your hobbies, rip you from everything you've ever loved and put you to work in camps. This is where this leads. They want to become the new elite of this society, and we need to rise up and destroy the whole assists. We need to cut them out like a cancerous lesion on an ass and put them up against the wall and pull the trigger. It's the only way.
Oh, who is going to decide? The people will decide. Do you have no faith in them? I would like to remind my opponent, we criticize ideas and not people here in our utopian society. No, the whole asses. We do not need to be lined up against the wall, no sir. It is the half asses who must be killed en masse.
And so, despite all coming together under a beautiful vision for a library socialist, wokist, utopian society, the half-assist and the whole-assist factions fought and fought deep into the night, their rhetoric becoming more and more unhinged, violent, and divisive. A vote was eventually held. It came out a perfect split. 50% voting for a half ass on the flag, and 50% for a whole ass on the flag. And when that result was announced, pandemonium erupted. Families were torn apart, working groups destroyed one another, people were lined up against the wall on both sides, the streets were littered with halves of asses that were lopped off, cheeks lay strewn through the streets. And when it was all over, the revolution was in tatters. The beautiful vision of a utopian society cleft in twain by a mighty crack that would never heal.
So this has been the Seriously Wrong podcast. We are Sean and Aaron, your humble hosts. Together we make one glorious plump ass. For each half an ass. And when you start using the words like plump and juicy, like it's funny, but there's like this kind of like it's got guttural, but like ugh, kind of funny, you know.
I think it's wholesome, a nice plump juicy ass. Although like it does, there's a bit of problematicness to it because, you know, sometimes a flat ass, they get a bad rap, but, you know.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Not even nothing wrong with it. I've seen some like pretty flat asses that are just wonderful, lovely asses.
Yeah, that's sweet asses.
Sweet, sweet. luscious. Yeah. So thank you so much for listening. Let us know in the comments what you think about it. We'll probably respond to it in a mailbag episode. Let us know what you think about our recent streak of episodes, doing them faster. How are you feeling about this new version of Seriously Wrong? Not that it's that different, but ease my worry that we should be doing more and more editing passes, and that it's horrible if there's even a single bum edit where you hear a clip because it didn't fade the edit properly or whatever. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure none of you even noticed, or if you did, it wasn't a big deal. But
this is great. You're setting them all up to say it's great, we love it. That's gonna be great to read. We do love reading the comments and really appreciate it. Thoughtful ideas and stuff. I mean, critiques, positive comments, additional ideas is all wonderful. Like, we really do appreciate it.
And if you want to fund our asses, head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/seriouslywrong. There's a whole ass archive of episodes there. You get episodes a whole ass day early. There's a whole ass Discord with a whole ass book club.
We got a whole ass series of episodes on the French and Haitian revolutions. We got a whole ass series on Jordan Peterson's book where we're criticizing it in a fair-minded manner, and other bonus episodes. It's a whole ass good time, and it's whole ass worth the spend, and it whole ass supports independent leftist content like us.
And it only takes a half-ass $6 a month to sign up. That's it. You don't even have to put your whole ass into the amount of money. It's only, you know, $6 a month. What's that? That's barely even a half-ass. That's a quarter-ass you got to put into signing up for that. So it's a low, low price for a ton of ass behind that paywall.
Yeah, we don't have time to talk about this, but one last thought. You know, this is something we talked about 10 years ago when we first started doing the show. It's just interesting how everyone, gay or straight, attracted to men or women, likes asses.
Sure.
Sweet asses. Like, the ass is this universal thing. Everyone has one, and everyone kind of likes them. Like, ooh, that's a nice ass. That's a universal human experience.
Yeah, it's true. It's like it's the main body part that is commonly sexualized, that crosses all gender boundaries, all orientation boundaries. It's, you know, gay, straight, bi, man, woman, non-binary. Everyone loves a nice ass.
And then to
some people love him more than others, and that's okay too, but everyone loves him at least a little bit.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, and to sweeten the pot, to make it even more absurd and beautiful, the life that we've inherited, to make it even great. All of that is true. And then even greater, part of the beauty of the world that we've come up in, part of the beauty of the bodies that we have as human beings, is that everyone has that feeling towards asses. Everyone has asses. And also poo-poo comes out of it.
And that's great, because nobody wants to be full of shit. Yeah. You want, the poop's got to come out. I thank my ass every day for that, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the heart of, maybe that's why people are sexually attracted to asses, is that debt and gratitude to getting the poo out.
Yeah, totally. Okay, oh, we'll have to think of that another week.
Yeah,
thank
see you next
you.
Week, everyone.
Maybe something's wrong.